Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Sukkah shigavoa lamala mi esrim amma. If you have a sukkah, which is gavoa, it's higher than 20 amos. They explain over here that the height of the sukkah from the ground all the way up to the schach is more than 20 amos. An amma is about 6 tfachim, about 6 hand breaths. So 20 amos is roughly 10 meters. Psula, the sukkah is invalid. And the reason is because the pasuk says, "Basukos teshu shibatevim," you should sit in sukkahs for 7 days. So Torah says that all these 7 days you leave your diras keva, your permanent dwelling, and you dwell in a diras arai, in a temporary dwelling. So up until 20 amos, we look at it as if a person's building a temporary dwelling. But once he builds a sukkah higher than 20 amos, so then he's doing it keva, he's doing it as a fixed structure, and that's not considered temporary, and therefore it would be invalid. It's got to be the amount, the height of a normal temporary dwelling. And then even if you built it keva, meaning let's just say you built the sukkah out of steel, but it was lower than 20 amos, so then you're fine. Because the point here is that you're building it within the measurements of a temporary dwelling. But the moment you go over 20 amos, so then if it was made out of straw, it's no good because we look at it as a permanent dwelling. So the bar over here is the height. Up until 20 amos is fine. Over 20 amos is no good. Why? Because over 20 amos looks like a permanent dwelling, whereas less than 20 amos looks like a temporary dwelling. And the whole point of sukkahs is that on sukkahs we go out of our permanent dwelling to dwell in the temporary dwelling. So it doesn't really matter the material of what you use it as. The point is that it's got to be within the height of a temporary dwelling, which is up until 20 amos, but more than that would be invalid. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, even if the sukkah is more than 20 amos, it's kosher, because he holds that a sukkah could be keva, could be permanent. And he argues on Tana Kama, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but that's the other opinion over here. V'she'ena gavoa asar tzvachim, a new case, what happens to the sukkah is not even 10 tzvachim tall, okay, from the ground to the schach. A tefach is about 8 centimeters, so it's not even 80 centimeters, so then it's invalid because you can't live in it. V'she'ena shalosh tefanos, if the sukkah does not have 3 walls, it's also going to be invalid, and we'll explain exactly what 3 walls means in a moment, but simply, it means it doesn't have 3 walls, it has 2 walls, it's invalid. Vishachamasa meruba mitzilasa, if there's more sun than shade in the sukkah, right? If you look at the floor of the sukkah, and you look at the shadow, you know, the shadow from the schach, you look at the rays from the sun, if you see more sun rays on the floor than shadow, then your sukkah is invalid because there's going to be more sun penetrating into your sukkah than schach. So that's also invalid. So psula, these 3 examples are all pasul. Now these are the simple ways to understand it. We're going to go a little bit deeper now to understand the case of the 3 wall case and the case of the more sun than shade. So let's see. A sukkah has to have 3 walls, according to the Chachamim in the Gemara. And what is 3 walls? So even if you have, we're going to explain it like this. Even if you have 2 walls that are complete, okay, next to each other, like in a L shape, and then you make the third wall, the third wall has a width of a tefach, a hand breadth, like about 8 centimeters, and a mashu, and a tiny bit more. Okay? Then you take this third mini wall and you place it within 3 tefachim of one of the 2 walls. So now it's enough. Why? Because there's a concept that we'll repeat this over and over again throughout the Masechta called Lavud. Lavud means that anything that is within 3 tefachim of something, we look at it as if it's attached. That's what Lavud is. So now we look at this wall, which is a tefach and a mashu, a tefach and a bit, that's within 3 tefachim to the other walls, as a wall of 4 tefachim, right? And 4 tefachim is the minimum shear, the minimum amount for a wall to be in a sukkah. And therefore, it would be kosher. And if you look in the picture that I attached over here, Pei Beis, picture is lettered Pei Beis, you see you have 2 complete walls, and then a small wall of a tefach and a drop within 3 tefachim of the other wall, making a total of 4 tefachim, and that would make the sukkah kosher. But you also have to add a tzuras haPesach. We learned about this in Erevin, Masechet Erevin, whereby you make like this little, a one post on one side, one post on the other side, then a post on top. kind of like a little, like, you know, entranceway, you add it to the sukkah, and that would make it kosher. So they show you that in the picture as well. Look at picture Pei-Bei's in the attachment. So that's one, definition of how a three-walled sukkah would look like in not the most conventional way. Okay. And then another one is like this. If you look at picture iron test that I attached, if you have two walls that are totally flush, meaning there's just like space in between, okay, and they're not in an L shape. So if you take another wall, which is more than a drop more than four tefachim, and then you place it within a drop less than three tefachim, so you'll get a total of seven tefachim, even though now you have, let's just say, one wall on the left, then one wall on the right, which is combining of the little bit more than four tefachim and the airspace of less than three tefachim to make like a seven tefachim wall. Even though the third wall is really distanced from it, we look at that also as a kosher sukkah. So these are two, and again, reference to the picture I'm attaching, Ayin Tes. These are two variations of, you know, not the conventional three-wall sukkah. And we'll see throughout the Masech that there are all different ways to make a sukkah, you know, the unconventional way. So that's important to note. And otherwise, three walls could also be just taken as the normal principle, of course, three full walls. Nowadays, it's very applicable. People build two walls, and their house will be the third wall. A lot of people do that. So that's what we have over here. So three walls is the minimum. And then the next case of the more sun than shade, so they bring that over here, which is dafka. If there's more sun than shade, is a sukkah puzzle. Like we said, how do you know? You look at the ground. Is there more sun rays coming in, or is there more shade coming in? Okay? But if you look at the ground and it's perfectly even, if a measuring tool, you see it's perfectly even, then we see it's kosher. Why? Because if it's perfectly even on the ground, there must be more schach up above. Why? Because even when the sun comes through the rays, right, through the schach, through the holes of the schach, by the time it reaches the floor, it automatically expands, right? So that means if it's even on the floor, it had to be that on top there was more schach above. So only in the case where there's more sun than shade would a sukkah be puzzle and valid. But if it's exactly equal, you look at the ground, and there's exactly equal amount of shade and sun, you know, shadowing on the ground, then we see it's kosher, because up above it has to be, there's really more schach, and therefore it would be kosher. Next case, sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah. So what's an old sukkah? We'll see. Beshamay poslim, beshamay say it's invalid, beshil machshir, and beshil say it's kosher. Vezuhi sukkah yeshana, what is an old sukkah? Kol she'asah kodem l'chag shoshim yom, any sukkah that was built before sukkahs, 30 days, meaning it was, you built it with no intention in mind. You built it before 30 days of Sukkot. Whereas, by Shammai hold, it's puzzle, it's invalid, because you have to do it for the honor of the Yom Tif, and you don't have the right intentions in mind. Okay? Whereas, Beis Hillel will say that, no, it's kosher, because according to Beis Hillel, Shaladaitim ain't tzarech shi'as sukkah shimchag, you don't have to have the intention that you're building it for Sukkot. And therefore, even if you build it before 30 days of Sukkot, and you have nothing in mind, they hold it still kosher, because you don't have to have this special intention in mind. Aval, but im asa l'shem chag, if you did make it in honor of the Yom Tif, then afilu mitzvah shana, even according to Beis Shammai, even if it was done, you know, last year, the second sukkah was over, you built a new sukkah for the following year. Here, even though it's more than 30 days, according to Beis Shammai, because you had the right intention in mind, k'shera, it would be kosher, according to Beis Shammai. And also, if you made it just stam with no intention in mind, but you did it within 30 days to Sukkot. So then once you're within 30 days, you know, you're learning about Sukkot and you're thinking about Sukkot, so even if you have nothing in mind, then according to Beis Shammai, it would also be kosher, because within 30 days, we assume it's automatically done for Sukkot. So that would be the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel hold, you can make it whenever you want. You don't have to have any special intention in mind. Beis Shammai say you always have to have the right intention in mind. So if you build it within 30 days to Sukkot, automatically that intention is there, even if you're not thinking of it. If it's before 30 days before Sukkot, it would depend. If you had the right intention in mind, it would work. If you didn't, then it wouldn't work. And we assume that you didn't have the, and that would be called the Sukkot Yeshana. And that would be the machlokas here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Moving along to Mishnah Beis. Ha'os ha'sukaso tach asi'ilan. If a person builds a sukkah underneath a tree, so the branches of the tree are sochachim, are covering up the schach of the sukkah. And we'll learn later on that if it's branches that are coming from a tree which is attached to the ground, it's actually puzzle. So if a person built a sukkah, he could put regular schach, but there's a tree, a live tree with branches growing over the sukkah. Ki'ilu asab tocha bayis. We look at it as if he built it inside his house, and it's possible it's invalid. What about sukkah agabai sukkah? You build one sukkah on top of another sukkah, meaning the schach of the first sukkah also serves as a flooring for the upper sukkah. Hel yonak shares, so the upper sukkah would be kosher, nothing wrong with the upper one, but v'atachtona psula, the lower one is going to be puzzled, will be invalid, because they say over here, psukah teshvu, lo psukah, because it says you have to sit in a sukkah, and not in a sukkah, under a sukkah. We look at it as if the lower one was built like inside a house, because the upper one is interfering with it, and therefore the lower one is no good, but of course the upper one would be fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, im ein di yurin bel yona, if no one lives in the upper sukkah, what he means is that it's not roy, it's not befitting for dwelling, then hatachtonik share, then the lower one would be kosher. And they explain like this. So the Gemara says like this. If the schach of the lower sukkah is weak, up until the point that if you put pillows and blankets on top of it, it wouldn't be able to hold it up, so then everyone agree that the bottom one would be kosher. Why? Because we don't look at the upper one as a sukkah at all, and we use the upper one's schach as the lower one's schach, and we look at it as just one sukkah for the lower one, right? As long as, of course, it's not higher than 20 amos, right? So you have the lower sukkah and the upper sukkah. If the lower sukkah can't hold pillows and blankets for the upper sukkah, then its roof is not really a flooring for the upper one. And we look at it as if it's not even there. And it just uses the schach of the upper sukkah provided within 20 amos. So everyone agree with that case would be okay. Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. But if the schach of the lower one could hold pillows and blankets for the upper sukkah, right? So then everyone would agree that the lower one's invalid, because the upper one is crowding the lower one. The lower one's not going to be good. So what's the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda over here? The machlokas would be is if the lower one's schach serves as a roof for the upper sukkah, only ayidat chak, meaning if it was pressing times, it could hold pillows and blankets, it could hold, it'll be able to hold weight for the upper sukkah, but only under pressing times. So do we consider that a sukkah under a sukkah or not? So Tanakam would hold in that kind of case, it's a sukkah under a sukkah, the lower one's invalid and it's no good. Because at the end of the day, can itzchach serve as a floor for the upper one? It could, right? So then the upper one would make the lower one invalid. Whereas if Yehuda would hold it, no. Even if the lower sukkah's chach can serve as a floor for the upper sukkah, since it's only through pressing times, right? We don't consider the lower sukkah a sukkah, and therefore we look at it as one giant sukkah, and therefore we look at the lower sukkah's schach as if it's not there. We use the upper sukkah's schach, of course, if it's within 20 amos, and therefore the lower sukkah would be okay. And that's the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. And that wraps up Mishnah Beis.